Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, the end of the week program where you choose the hot new upcoming bands and we put them on the air. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, broadcasting every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the Cyberstation USA Network, and our radio affiliates. Well, today's show is an exercise in contrast. We open up at 2:05 with Jason Vanderfort and R.T. Goodrich of Junk Parlor, gypsy junk rock band that's party, party, party. And at 2:30, we switch gears to Robin Yukiko, who will give us cheerful melodies for Valentine's Day, but melodies with a twist, or one, or two, or three. You'll love it. Well, there's a particular genius in creating art that is one thing on the surface and then something below the surface. And there's even more genius in creating that kind of art and then interchanging the surfaces in real time as the art flows. A song may start off cheerful and melodic, but the story tells something different, something, say, stealing a kidney or feigning empathy. And as the song unfurls, the melody and the tone move back and forth between the easy-to-listen-to melody and the hard-hitting irony and emotion. Our next guest does that. Her lyrics can be sharp splinters under your fingernails, but they go in so easily with her music that before you start to think of them, they're even when the end of the song comes and the splinters disappear, you are still thinking about them. Robin Yukiko has lived in Los Angeles, Boston, Japan, and Orlando, Florida. She has studied theater, opera, and professional music. Her debut album tells us a lot about her sense of humor, or maybe it's irony. It's entitled Me and My Apathy. Her most recent album is equally intriguing, Love War. Robin Yukiko, welcome to Music Friday.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
Robin, the title of your most recent album, Love War, is feels both masculine and feminine, love being the feminine side and war being the masculine side. To me, it feels like a cycle. Am I close at all?
I think that's actually a really great way to put it. My first inclination would be to say that as a Gemini, that it's kind of a description of myself and my inner workings. But we do kind of go through those cycles. Within ourselves, we learn the same lessons over and over again before we really learn them. And do we ever really learn them?
Well, part of your art to me, your songs to me, is your ability to write contrasting music and lyrics. And I want to play a song that I think really demonstrate that very well. This is Chronicles of a Kidney Thief.
For cash to biscuits, cause a fiscal treat can buy my seat in your dining room when you're not in the room. Don't be so apotropaic, I'll be opportunistic until my dying breath. So give it a rest. And all your efforts go in my pocket.
That is quite a powerful song. That line that we just heard, loan me your daughter in a bathtub full of ice, what a disturbing image. Does that describe the needs of people in love? Is that the message of the song? Are you asking, is love worth it?
You know, that I'm not going to say no. That wasn't my intention at the beginning. At the beginning, the song was just a character piece, just one of those deliciously evil creations. I took the urban myth of, you know, stealing kidneys, and, you know, you wake up in a bathroom full of ice, and there's a note that says, go to the hospital immediately, you're missing a kidney. And I just thought that was kind of a fun, I mean, it sounds horrible, it's a fun story. As far as I'm aware, that doesn't actually happen, just so everyone's clear on that. But I kind of took that idea and ran with it and just thought of this, you know, really evil, opportunistic person who's really lighthearted about it. But I mean, you can look at it from the perspective of love. I mean, the person that I'm singing to is basically the prey, or, you know, someone who suffers from this deliciously evil person. And yeah, I mean, we're gonna have people that prey on us all the time. And I think love is absolutely worth it. Pain is a very sweet emotion that I think we've all reveled in before. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Going on a tangent here.
I think we got it there. All right.
Okay.
We're talking with Robin Yukiko, and if you'd like to talk to Robin, it's 347-215-7511. You can tell her about your pain, and don't call up if you're missing a kidney, because she's not responsible. you can email in musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, on a more serious note, you recently blogged about your grandmother having been interned in a camp during World War II. Now, I visited one of those camps, Manzanar, a few months ago, and I was simultaneously appalled that my country would do that to its citizens. And I was also inspired by the dynamic communities that the interned Japanese built there. But you took from that an appreciation that Americans can be patriotic in any language. You want to tell me the genesis of that observation?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to mention the camp that you went to is the camp that my grandmother was at. She was at Manzanar with, you know, I think about six of her siblings when she was about 18. I mean, you know, the Super Bowl commercial with Coca-Cola and the America the Beautiful in many languages, it didn't occur to me that that would be something that people would get upset about. And, you know, the irony of it is if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's about nature, God's grace, and brotherhood. There's no room for, you know, intolerance. And it made me think of my grandmother, and, you know, after she and her family left the camp, she never talked about it. So I never heard her say a word about what it was like, but I could see the effect it had on my mother. And then, you know, just generation by generation, that feeling of trying to assimilate and blend in and kind of become a wallflower, that's what happened. You know, she stopped speaking the language, which I think is tragic. And so my mom never learned Japanese.
Are you going to incorporate any of that into any of your music, or have you?
You know, I haven't figured out a good way to do it yet.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel
right.
it's coming.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I know you're part Japanese, and you spent 2.5 years in Japan. Now, I've been there many, many times, but I've never had to perform before a Japanese audience. Are Japanese audiences different than American audiences?
My experience says yes. It's with a caveat, though. As a foreigner, I was something of a novelty And I think a lot of people who go to Japan as Caucasians or anything other than Japanese will find that they're a novelty. And my audience was very appreciative. I taught English there, and a lot of my students would come to see me play. They were very attentive and very warm. People that didn't know me were also, you know, pretty taken with it. But I have no idea if it was the actual quality of my music or just, wow, there's a foreigner playing music. It's neat.
And a foreigner who speaks Japanese, which is even more of a novelty, too.
That's a bit of a stretch. I could get by in, you know, greetings and directions and ordering food.
Okay. Very important parts. Disguising your feelings is something of an art in Japan, which is kind of necessary in a country of close quarters. How did your very personal music fit in with that?
Well, I had the benefit of it being in English, and they didn't quite catch it. But I'll tell you, in my everyday interactions, that was a big issue for me, because I'm a very blunt person, and you know, I'll say what I think, and that kind of got me into trouble a few times. And it was shocking to see how little they said what they thought. So that was probably the biggest culture stress that I experienced. Whether it happened in my music, I think the lyrics get lost in translation.
Well, let's play a song which talks a little bit about not expressing your feelings exactly the way you're feeling them. This is a song called Feigning Empathy. Now, I enjoy that music on a lot of different levels. I like the music particularly. I like the what you've incorporated into that. But I was also wondering, was the inspiration from that possibly a blog you wrote about Governor Huckabee's words on birth control?
Well, I actually wrote this a few years ago, but I... It could actually very easily be interpreted as such. Did you want to play it?
No, that's
okay. I can keep going on that.
Okay, all right. All right. Well, you're a new mom. Congratulations. Tell us about your
baby.
Thank you.
He's 3 months. His name is Jonah. And it's just every little thing that he does is adorable.
Of course.
So I'm pretty thrilled, a little sleep deprived, but I've started making music again, and trying to make music and watch him at the same time is just fun. I just set him up right next to my keyboard and he watches me sing, which is nice.
Have you written any lullabies for him?
You know, I actually have written a song. It's my Valentine's Day present to my husband. A love song now that we're parents, which is a bit about him, but my husband hasn't heard it yet, so I'm not going to sing it for you today.
Okay, all right. We just got an email in from Allison in Atlanta saying, wow, a new mom who also writes songs. Does your baby inspire songs, and can we hear your baby on the radio?
You know, yes, well, he did inspire that love song. But yeah, I'm sure... he's being watched in the other room. Let's see if he's being noisy. Are you being noisy? He is being completely quiet now.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't you know it, huh? Well, why don't I call up when you're trying to sleep, and then we'll be sure that he's noisy at that point, no doubt. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. We've got an email here from Mucho Macho in Austin, and Mucho Macho wants to know if – when you tour, do you take your baby? And also, will you be touring so we can see you live?
At the moment, I am not touring. I've actually never toured, believe it or not. I find I just perform wherever I live, which keeps changing all the time. I'm hoping to tour in the future, but it is a bit tricky. So at the moment, I just do online shows. And actually, I'm doing one this Sunday.
Oh, well, tell us about it. How can we stream it?
So if you go to stageit.com, just stageit.com, and just search for my name, Robin Yukiko. That's Y-U-K-I-K-O. It'll come up. It's part of what I call the Living Room series, which is exactly what it sounds like. I will serenade you from my living room, and you can see it from yours.
Okay, we're talking with Robin Yukiko, and she's going to be streaming from her living room. What time this Sunday?
2:30? 2:00. You know what?
2:00.
2:30. But you know what? Sign on early, though, because the way you pay is a little bit confusing. It goes through notes. So get there a bit early. It's pay what you can, minimum of $5.
Sure. Okay, and that's stageit.com. That's 2 o'clock Eastern this Sunday. You can hear her stream from her living room. What are you going to do if your son exhibits musical tendencies? Will you be supportive like your parents, or will you turn him around and say, no, not that? Or do you know yet?
Oh, fate worse than death. You know, whatever he wants to do, I'm perfectly happy. As long as he, puts in the effort. But I mean, who knows? He might not know what he wants to do until he's 30.
Yeah, well, that's not uncommon.
So, I will be supportive but firm.
Let's listen to another song of yours. Actually, I've got a whole bunch of them here, but this one I found kind of interesting. This is "Fool Who Left." Just on the surface, this is such a fun song. I love the music. I love the, I guess that's a clarinet that you sneak in back there. It's just so much fun. But there's something else going on there. What is this conversations you're looking for? Is that part of your life? Does that come out of your experience?
Oh, yes. This was very literally from my personal experience. Well, whenever I play this song live, I almost always introduce this as the most depressing song I've ever written. and then, of course, it jumps into this really fun, happy thing. But, the story is when you get the timing wrong in relationships, you're happy, maybe you're in love or you're in like, and the other person cares more. And so, you let it go. And then you realize, oh, crap, what did I just do? This is a great person that I need to be with. And, they're off dating someone else. And, of course, I just spilled water on a computer. That's great. the conversation is, can we start to talk about getting back together? But the song actually took on a new meaning for me because the drummer on this track actually, we were living in Orlando and we had this great band and then he moved to be with another band and he posted a status update, "I'm the fool who left." And, suddenly it was about leaving the band and it kind of touched my heart when he wrote that because I was really sad about him leaving. But, that's the story, the double story.
Okay, all right. we have an email about that song and about your music in general, and this is Rawlings in Seattle, and Rawlings writes, you do so many different kinds of things with your music. How do you classify your music? What is it?
Oh, I was hoping no one would ask that. I just
we
call it alternative piano.
Mm-hmm. Alternative what?
Alternative piano pop. I feel that everything is kind of based in pop music, but then kind of tangents off into like jazz and musical theater qualities. But that's the best way that I can describe it. I've heard it called dream pop, I've heard it called vaudevillian.
I could see that. Yeah,
opera.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, we are getting close to the end of the clock, and I do have one more song I want to play and talk about a little bit. So why don't we listen to Ocean Floor?
My favorite.
Now, I don't know who the two entities are that you're singing about there, but it certainly brings up some lovely underwater images. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, the song, a relationship can end and you don't have to, you can mourn the loss of it, but after a while you can kind of start to remember the good things and let go of all the negativity that you carried around with it. And that's sort of what the song is about. And I felt like the ocean image it struck something in me. Our hearts kind of flow around these feelings and finally come around to acceptance.
Well, it's different in some ways. You got that violin back there. And
actually a viola.
Oh, it's a viola, really. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And that helps really create a watery texture. And did you have to work on that for a while?
Well, I don't play string instruments, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I love arranging, and so it was actually kind of a bass viola duet. But yeah, I mean, it takes some work, but this song. Once I knew what I was doing with it, it started to flow, appropriately enough.
Well, it flowed very nicely. Real quickly, I know that in San Francisco you set up a workshop series, and I never thought about workshopping music. And could you tell us real quickly, in about the next minute, what a workshop series for music is, what workshopping music is?
Sure. Well, I did it as kind of a critique session that I based off of a class that I took at Berklee College of Music. And basically people would bring in their songs and we would critique it as a group very positively and constructively and come up with ways that we can tweak it to make it better, more like what their true intention was for the song, not trying to make it something else. And I found that a lot of people, what they would get out of it is permission to write what they really want to say. And for other people, it was to actually sit down and focus instead of just writing anything, actually honing their craft. So it was kind of both ends of the spectrum. And people got a lot out of it. And actually, when I left, they continued the meetings without me, which I'm thrilled about.
Good. Okay. Well, we are out of time now. And Robin, this has been a delight. I'm sorry that we couldn't get your baby on the radio, but maybe maybe next time we'll have to call during nap time or something for that one. But I want to thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us. So thanks again for being with us today.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
That's Robin Yukiko. The album is Love War. It's available at Robin's site. That's www.robinyukiko.com. And everybody should check it out. She's got lots of other interesting things on the site. Well, you've been listening to Music Friday with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStation USA, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page and you follow our Twitter feed, you'll get real-time updates on our guests. If you vote for your favorite musician on Music Friday, nationbuilder.com, we'll invite them on the show. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. Download this and other Music Friday programs at cyberstationusa.com or at blogtalkradio.com. And actually, blogtalkradio.com posts our shows as a podcast within about 2 minutes of our going off the air. So that's a good place to go get them. Next Friday, you should be here next Friday because we're going to have rocker Eric Zane. He's going to be with us. He just finished up a great set at Molly Malone's in Los Angeles, and I've seen him at other places at a pre-Grammy party, so you're going to really like that. And folk singer Claudia Smith is going to return with her new album. She was on the air with us last year, and she's back again. She's been hard at work in the studio. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll update you on all of these guests. And right now, I want to say good night, everybody. Have a great musical weekend, and happy Valentine's Day. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of Darlin' Oh Darlin' by Junk Parlor.